Welcome to the Daily Platform. Our program features sermons from chapel services at Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Every day, students are blessed by the preaching and teaching of the Bible from the University Chapel platform. Today and tomorrow, we're featuring a sermon preached from the Bob Jones University 2023 Bible Conference, where the theme was the steadfast love of God. Brian Peterson, lead pastor at Lebanon Baptist Church in Roswell, Georgia, will be preaching a message from John 21. Dr. Steve Pettit will introduce him.
We are so thankful for the ministry of Brian Peterson and the Lebanon Baptist Church in Roswell, Georgia, which is on the north side of Atlanta. If you ever move to Atlanta and you live on that side of town, you definitely need to go and visit Lebanon Baptist Church. Wonderful people, wonderful ministry, God-honoring ministry. And we're so thankful for Brian's life. I've known him for so many years. So thankful for his passion, his love for God. He's always been enthusiastic. He's always been a servant. Our team used to go there and park our trailers there sometimes for 2 or 3 weeks for breaks that we would take. And it's just a wonderful servant of the Lord and a wonderful preacher of God's word. And so I'm so glad that he can round out and finish out this wonderful week as we have been considering the great theme of God's steadfast love. And so, Brother Brian, you come and let's give him a warm welcome as he comes back.
Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to John 21, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Well, over our days together, we have explored many facets of God's hesed love. Tonight, what I'd like us to do is I would like for us to look at steadfast love in person. I would like for us to look at hesed love in the eyes. I want you tonight to see the glory of Jesus Christ and his incredible steadfast love by looking at one of the final events in his earthly ministry. Of course, the Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John. It was written to the world to show us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you would believe in him, and as a result of believing in him, that you would have life. Not just eternal life, but abundant life even here. That's what this particular book is all about. John, over the course of all the chapters, has brought witnesses to the stand. He's talked about events in Jesus' life. He's shared discourses, miracles, all to display the glory of the person of Jesus Christ and convince you to be a follower of him. I trust that most of you are followers of Jesus Christ. If not, I trust that you will continue to investigate him. In this scene that we are going to look at in just a moment, John ends the gospel with what we would call the epilogue, with Jesus lovingly shepherding his disciples, and particularly one of those disciples. The setting is the shore of the Sea of Galilee. I wish I could paint the scene as Dr. Bob Jones Jr. used to do from this pulpit. He had a way of just painting the scene just perfectly. In just a few weeks, I'm going to be leading a tour to Israel, as I've done with Dr. Pettit and Dr. Horn. And one of the places we often visit is the Church of the Primacy of Peter. It's a church that's built on the location or a suggested location of where the events of this chapter took place. I've been there at times when tour guides have told the people there, hey, pick up a, look around here and look for a heart-shaped stone. And remember the truths of love that are found at this location and see it in this text. So tonight, as I read our text, I want you to imagine with me a lakeshore, one fateful morning. Listen to what it says in John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, and girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad amongst the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that this testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Would you join me as I pray? Father, I ask today that you would unfold this text before this audience, and that you would enlighten minds, that you would help us to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, I ask, that was prayed for many times from this pulpit on Friday nights of Bible conference, that you would pour out your Spirit even more for Jesus' sake. Do that, I pray today, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was during my high school years at Bob Jones Academy that I believe I finally chose to follow Jesus Christ. I often tell people I think I was saved sometime between 8 and 16. I don't know when it happened, but I think by the time I was 16, I had become a follower of Jesus. They often say the best evidence for past faith is present faith. And by that time, I was believing in Christ. And I'll tell you, my life changed. In fact, it was around those years that at the academy, we saw God do a spiritual revival, such that there have still been repercussions. I've run into young people that are still, certain young people who got right with the Lord at that time, that are still serving the Lord all across the world. Even I've run into some of them this week who are serving on the faculty. I would love, and I know many of you would love to see God's movement among God's people again today. That particular time period began my life of discipleship. And I'll tell you, my life of discipleship has involved many ups and downs. Am I going to keep following Christ? Am I going to keep doing what He's called me to do? Will I do what He has actually commanded me in His Word? Let me tell you that believers will keep following Him. Thankfully, God has continued to shepherd me back to the mission of my life. You know, disciples of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, disciples of Jesus have a tendency oftentimes to get distracted by other things. One of the most tempting things, of course, is sin. We got caught, or we get caught back in sin and go back to many of the things we never should have done. Sometimes it's just getting distracted by the affairs of this life. Tonight, if you have truly chosen to follow Christ, have you gotten off track? Have you gone on a rabbit trail? God has saved you to serve Him and to give your life for Him. And in John chapter 21, we have a beautiful picture of how Jesus lovingly directs His disciples back on mission. In fact, what we're going to see is how He'll take a disciple, the disciple Peter, focus in on him and get this guy back on the mission of his life. I want you to see really four beautiful reminders that Jesus gives to His disciples. And if you're here today and you really want to live for the Lord and you have just gotten off track, see God's hesed love in these reminders. And the first is this: Jesus reminds us of His power. Our text opens with a beautiful bit of background information. Remember, the guy writing this is none other than the Apostle John. He's an eyewitness. He's telling us exactly what occurred. He opens in verse 1 by saying, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, he showed himself. So here they are, they're at the Sea of Tiberias, and Peter lays out his plan. He's with his other disciples, and he says in verse 3, Peter saith unto them, I'm going fishing. I've got a bunch of fishermen in my church in Atlanta, and a lot of them sometimes come to me, I'm going fishing. And sometimes I want to say, I'm going to go with you. Well, here's Peter with a bunch of his friends, I'm going fishing, and they're like, we're going with you. What's going on here? Some have suggested that Peter was possibly going back to his former profession. Many of you know he was a fisherman. Some have suggested maybe Peter was just kind of killing time because God said, hey, wait till the promise of the Holy Spirit. Hey, we got to eat, so let's go fish. We can't be certain exactly why he suggests going fishing. Possibly it was kind of a mix of both of them. They often, of course, would fish at night so they could sell their fish in the morning market. We're told in the text that they didn't catch anything. And the sun was now rising over the Golan Heights. And Jesus, Hesed love, shows up in person. It's his third visit to this group of disciples, and he now begins to manifest his power. He calls out to them in verse 5, and he asks them this. Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? The way I often would say it is, hey, how's the luck? Okay, did you catch anything? He asked them, hey, have you caught anything? And what do they say? They say, no. And so he instructs them. He says, hey, cast your nets on the right side. And what do? They obey right away, and they start pulling in this load of fish. And when they begin to do that, no doubt it triggered a memory. Because if you would go, and I'm not going to have you do this tonight, but if you turn back to Luke chapter 5, this same event happened many months before. Jesus had displayed his power in the same way. What had happened before was Peter, who had followed Jesus at different times and had gone back to fishing, and Jesus kind of commandeers his boat one day and basically tells him to cast his nets after he'd fished all night, and he kind of didn't want to do it, but at God's command, he does it, and he brings in this load of fish. And if you remember the story, he falls on his knees and he repents, and the text says this, he then left all and followed Jesus. But now, here, after Jesus had resurrected from the grave, what does Jesus do? He reminds Peter of his incredible power. He has ultimate power. Not only did he have power over the fish, they're looking at Jesus, who had power over death. He had resurrected from the grave. They had seen him on the cross. Here was the one who had ultimate power. I love it. Notice John, the Apostle John's discernment. He's in the boat, 100 yards away from shore, and what does he do? He says, guys, it's the Lord. But then Peter, he demonstrates his decisive action by just diving in. Notice what it says in verse 7. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. Now I have gone numbers of times to Israel. One of the things I've not got to do yet is I've always wanted to jump off one of the boats like Peter did. Not naked, okay? As the King James Version. This is one of the picturesque words that the King James Version has. But I've always wanted to just dive in the water like Peter. Well, he just dives in and starts swimming to shore. What had he seen? He saw God's incredible power. Now, I'm looking at a number of you in this room that you do love Jesus. But there are some of you who get really distracted from what God has called you to do with your life. Other priorities come up. Life comes up. Sin comes up. Maybe some of you are still carrying burdens from this past Christmas time. And you started running from the Lord almost like David did. And God in His providence has brought this week into your life, and He has begun to convict you of certain ones of those sins. Some of you, it may not be a sin. It's just you've gotten distracted by other things. It's just kind of weights in your life. And of course, Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And what? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And in our account this evening, God reminds us that He has all power. He is the master of everything. Bob Jones University, when you consider who Jesus is and the power that He has, you must recommit your life to Him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He has all power. In fact, it was sometime around here, many of you are very familiar with the Great Commission. Remember in Matthew chapter 28, it happened in Galilee, and you remember what Jesus said there? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I have all power. And right here, Jesus demonstrates His power before His disciples. I've always found it interesting that the disciples never catch fish in the gospel without Jesus' help. See Jesus' power. But not only that, I want you also to see how Jesus now reminds them as well of His provision. So what does He do here? He provides for them 153 large fish. Now, why did they count? Maybe they were bragging. Maybe it was like, hey, we're going into Capernaum later on, and we're going to tell them how many fish we caught. Now, some commentators have suggested, is it symbolic of something? I don't think so. I think it's just there, the 153, just to show you that what you're reading in your gospel is from an eyewitness. No doubt years later, maybe the disciples are talking and they're like, oh yeah, remember we caught those 150 fish? No, John interrupts them. No, it was 153. He's the same guy who at the beginning of the Gospel of John, when he met Jesus, he records in the Gospel, he says this, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He never forgot the time that he met Jesus. So what's happening here? When they get to land, and Jesus has a breakfast ready for them. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. So He already had made something here. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. And did you notice what He does? He provides two things, bread and what? Fish. bread and fish. Now, how did he do it? He wasn't cooking the fish that had just come off. He'll refer to them in just a second. We don't know exactly how Jesus did the bread and did the fish, but it is a pretty picture of this, that Jesus Christ, not only has all power, but he's also the ultimate provider. In fact, you know what he can do? He can furnish a lunch in the middle of the wilderness. Because if you remember back, just around the Sea of Galilee shore, many months before, what had he done? He had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he had multiplied it to feed over 5,000 men, which we know if it was just 5,000 men, no doubt it was tons more, and he had an abundant amount left. In fact, have you ever caught how when he had, of course, he's testing his disciples when he's doing the bread and the loaves. He says, you give them something to eat. And they said, we can't do this. And he says, okay, this boy's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so he's testing his disciples. And then he multiplies them. And then they bring back 12 baskets, one for each doubting disciple. He is one who can provide anything. In fact, after he had done that, many months before, the crowd that he had multiplied the loaves with asked him, they said, hey, can you keep doing this? And what does he tell them to do? He tells them, I am the bread of life. You need to eat of me and drink of me. Let me tell all of you in this room, Jesus Christ can take care of all of your needs. He has all power. He has all provision.
Unfortunately, that's where we'll need to pause Pastor Peterson's sermon from John 21. Join us again tomorrow when we'll hear the conclusion of this sermon from the Bob Jones University Bible Conference on the Daily Platform.